So as you know, last week, at long last, a major tranche of Epstein files was released. 3 million files. And all this stuff hit the DOJ website all at once. And people started looking through it using AI and other tools. And they started looking at all these documents, emails and FBI tips and photos and all kinds of things. And as soon as the FBI files went up, this stuff immediately started finding its way all over social media. And let's talk a little bit first about Epstein. And like I said earlier about these two Epsteins. So you have the Epstein that we know about, who was convicted in the late 2000s of sex trafficking and specifically procuring underage girls for the purpose of sex trafficking, who was then given a sweetheart plea deal negotiated by Alan Dershowitz, high-profile Jewish attorney, and Alex Acosta, who was a Trump labor secretary later on. And the sweetheart plea deal had him only serving a little bit more than a year in prison for what was widely considered to be a very severe crime, a massive and widespread blackmail ring, potentially, but certainly sex trafficking, in particular of hundreds, maybe thousands of underage girls. They say he got a slap on the wrist. And the reason being is because he was protected by intelligence. He had a strange fortune. Nobody really knows who he is, where he came from, how he made his money. Somehow he's extremely connected and very rich. Got busted and caught red-handed, somehow was able to evade persecution. They didn't throw the book at him, and he made it out. Well, they came back at him with even more charges later on. He mysteriously dies in prison. People speculate he was killed to cover up the secrets that he held. And in other words, he might rat on all of his clients, all the people he was involved with in order to get off the hook in his prosecution. That's the story that we know about Jeffrey Epstein. And so to put it succinctly, the idea was he's got a private island, a private plane. He's trafficking thousands of underage girls. He's working for the Israelis. He's trafficking these underage girls. He was put in a position to do this by wealthy financiers and other connectors so that he could get powerful people compromised on tape, having sex with minors so that he can be their handler on behalf of the state of Israel. This is what is claimed by Epstein, or rather about Epstein. Now let's talk about what is in these files. This is why for many years, there was a popular call for all these files that were held by the DOJ and the FBI to be released. Because people said only when we see the true breadth and depth of the DOJ's investigation, will we learn the true nature of this criminal enterprise? Only then will we know the names of the accomplices. Will we know the names of those that were compromised and who their handlers were and who was orchestrating all of this? This was the call. Release those files, and then we will learn the true secret of our government and how things really work in the power structure. Okay, well, they released these 3 million files that everybody wanted, that everybody was clamoring for. And let's be very honest. Let's be brutally honest here about the files. There is no smoking gun. Just isn't. We have emails. We have photos. We have a lot of things. There's a lot of stuff in there that's pretty damning. And there's a lot of stuff in there that's suspicious. And stuff in there that is... There's some wild claims that are made in the files. But if you believe that the Israeli government is directing Epstein to traffic minors, to get powerful people blackmailed and then hold this over them, you just don't find a lot of explicit talk of this in the files. Is there even one email? Is there even one correspondence where Epstein is talking to his handler about, oh, we blackmailed this guy? Is there any mention of blackmail? Is there any mention of someone being compromised on a tape? Is there any mention of any of that? Not really. No smoking gun. Have we learned through any explicit, detailed material, anything direct inside the files, which government was really controlling him? or who he was controlling or what he got them to do. It's not in there. It just isn't. What is in the files is a lot of vague innuendo. There is vague talk of sex tapes, and there is some Pizzagate-like lingo, coded language, which is certainly disturbing. And there's correspondences with powerful people, and there's innuendo about being part of Mossad. And there are some pretty extreme allegations. But there just isn't any smoking gun. If you're looking for it, you're not going to find it in here. Now, perfectly reasonable explanation for this. If Epstein really is a super spy, why would you expect to find this in the files? Either it was never written down, it was never put in writing, or if it was destroyed. And the evidence certainly has been tampered with. Because Epstein was originally charged in 2006. That's 20 years ago. So is it plausible that the evidence has been destroyed or tampered with over the course of 20 years? Absolutely. You have to assume that it was. Epstein was charged again in 2019. It's 2026. So 6 years have passed since he died. 20 years have passed since he was originally charged. And there are high-profile reports that Epstein's people got to these tapes, got to the island, the Manhattan townhouse, before the FBI did. We could also imagine, again, as I said, that, you know, maybe all the evidence never found its way into a written correspondence. So there's a plausible explanation for this. But what does that mean? What does that imply for our conclusions about the Epstein files? We have to take all this information, and we can't look at it as the end-all be-all. We can't look at all these files and say, okay, this is it. This is the proof. Because if that's your proof, it's pretty shaky. It's not great. You're building a house on sand because there's nothing really solid in here. People point to an email where Epstein said, I love that torture video. I'm sorry, but that could mean anything. And some people might say, huh, it's very clear. It really isn't. Epstein was a degenerate, okay? He had books about sadomasochism. He was clearly a sex addict. Clearly had a lot of eclectic and eccentric tastes and interests. And without context, we don't know who he's talking to. We don't know what the email he's replying to said. That's the sort of evidence that passes on Twitter. You have one email. I like the torture video. Obviously, given what Epstein is involved in, it's suggestive. And certainly one possibility is he is saying this is a, he's replying to a video of the torture, probably of someone underage and blah, blah, blah. It's a possibility, but it's inconclusive. I mean, we really don't know. It's ambiguous. It's suggestive. And the Epstein files are filled with this. There's another exchange with Ehud Barak where he says, make sure to tell the Qataris that we're negotiating with that I'm not Mossad. And Barak says, who? That I'm not Mossad or you're not Mossad? And Epstein says, tell them I'm not Mossad. Again, that is suggestive, but it's not conclusive. It's not really evidence. It's ambiguous. Now, you can read into that what you'd like to see. You could read into all of this what you'd like to see, but it doesn't really corroborate anything. And if you're trying to make the case about Epstein, you're going to be found wanting. And this is sort of my problem with the Epstein literature. The more that you look into these more exaggerated claims, the more you realize there isn't a ton of evidence for it. You can watch a Daryl Cooper interview with Tucker. You can read the Whitney Webb book. You can read through the DOJ memo, the charging document in 2006. You could read through the DOJ memo from this document dump last week. There's just not a lot of there. There's not really a smoking gun. If what you're looking for is the blueprint for, you know, evil island where the politicians are doing demonic rituals and sacrifices and pedophilia for, you know, the cabal of Satanists and whatever, it's not in there. You're not going to find it. And this is why people are they're really scouring the emails for anything that looks shady. Taking things that are pretty vague and ambiguous, They're embellishing these things. They're reading into it what they'd like to see, but which really isn't actually there. And then they're passing it off as established fact and then using that then to form a theory. So they'll take the email that says torture video and they're saying, well, clearly he was talking about a video of torturing a child and probably dismembering them. Like, that's not in there, but they have taken something that they found. It says torture. Okay, so we scoured the evidence, cherry-picked what we like. Then we read into it the worst possible interpretation. Then we're extrapolating out that he is dismembering and torturing people for the devil, and then passing that off as though it's a fact and building this theory that he was this really like a boogeyman-like figure. And that, I think, is problematic. I think you're going to find that that is actually not convincing. Here is what you can say about the Epstein files based on what we have seen. And I said this on Friday, and I said this on Twitter. What we can conclude from the Epstein files is that the Epstein files are incomplete. Obviously, they are redacted. We don't have all the names. We don't have all the information. And half of them weren't even released. We can also conclude something was going on there. Obviously, something was going on that island. Epstein was involved in some capacity. He was not just a tax genius. He was something more. So the only sensible thing to say about the files is that the FBI must reopen the investigation. The DOJ must reopen the investigation. Because, and here's the thing, the American public deserves transparency. It's our right to see the files. This concerns our elites. This concerns our government. This concerns powerful people. It is the right of the American public to see this stuff. With that being said, you're only really supposed to believe none of what you hear, half of what you see. We don't really know what's going on here. So much of it is incomplete, inconclusive, ambiguous. These are 20-year-old files, and we're only seeing something that we're being shown. And we really have no power to follow up. We don't have subpoena power like Congress does. We can't call a subcommittee, you and I. We don't have the power to go to a judge and get a warrant. We can't compel anybody to have an interview. We can't charge people. That's the FBI's job. That's the DOJ's job. And so for me, what is very clear is what must happen next. Okay, so there's no smoking gun here. And as I said on Friday, the files ask more questions than they answer. They create more questions than they actually answer. We don't really have any clearer picture of what's happening than we did 2 weeks ago. What we do have, though, are leads. We have names. We have some idea of what's going on. Now it's the DOJ's job to actually follow the lead. There should now be a mandate for the DOJ and for the FBI to actually investigate the people that are named and some of the claims that are made inside the files, whether that's Trump or George W. Bush or Bill Gates, Howard Lutnick, all these people need to be investigated. So as far as I'm concerned, this is the beginning, not the end. And it's the FBI's job and the DOJ's job, not our job. And it's not to say that we shouldn't investigate and ask questions. We should, but we should recognize the limits of it and not get carried away. Because here's sort of the problem. I see what is happening, which is that people have turned this Epstein thing into like, that is the skeleton key. Once we have the Epstein files, everything will be answered. Well, that clearly didn't happen. Now, if your whole theory and worldview is resting on these files that prove everything, you're going to be found wanting. You're going to actually look stupid. If 2 weeks ago you were saying, well, just wait until the Epstein files come out, then we'll know that Israel's really doing it with blackmail and they did it on the island. There's not a lot there in the files. So if you're resting your whole case on that, it's going to be weak. And I think actually what the file dump does is it sucks a lot of the energy out of it. People look at this and they go, yeah, there's nothing really there. And they turn and they say, well, what can we do? The files got released. Now what? Here's what has to happen next. These are leads that the DOJ and the FBI needs to follow and get to the bottom of. With that being said, I want to get into some of these falsehoods and this idea of what we know about Epstein, what is in the files and what is not in the files. So as I said at the top of the show, you sort of have these two different pictures of Epstein, and they tell us different things about the world and how conspiracy theorists think about the world. As I said, there was one picture of Epstein, which to me is very grounded and very realistic. It sees him as a human being. And in the context of the wider world, it tells us a lot about how the United States works. And I told you at the top, Epstein is a Jew from a Jewish neighborhood. He got his fortune mysteriously from Jewish financiers. Why? No one knows. They just gave him hundreds of millions of dollars. Two Jewish financiers by the name of Leon Black and Les Wexner gave Epstein half of $1 billion and a house and a jet and an island and a company. Why? They say because he had a great personality, because he was such a great guy. Now, what that looks like is that Epstein was an intelligence operative. Okay, nobody's giving anybody a half a billion dollars because they like the cut of their jib. You give somebody a half a billion dollars if you are working with Israel and that person is working with Israel and they need capital to do their job. That's what a spy looks like. That is what a mercenary looks like. That's what a fixer looks like. That's like a Better Call Saul type figure. That is an intermediary. That's a go-between. That is someone who can be whatever they need to be for their state sponsor. And so Epstein, being a Jew from a Jewish neighborhood, involved with the intelligence agencies, receiving this fortune from Jewish millionaires that are in bed with Israel, he sets up the sex trafficking ring with all these celebrities, government officials, financiers, bankers, etc. And he's getting into some weird stuff with these people. He gets charged. He gets convicted. What does this tell us about the way the world works? Well, it tells us an awful lot about organized Jewry in America, which is that Jews identify as Jewish. They have an allegiance to Israel, which sometimes goes to the level of cooperation with their government as a spy. They represent something like a fifth column. And they will do these things. Powerful Jewish billionaires work with Israel to help Israeli spies. And these Israeli spies get in all the rooms where decisions are being made. And they have leverage over the decision makers. And so that is how Jews in Israel can exert influence and control over decisions being made in America, in Europe, in the Middle East, all over the world. It tells us something about the world that Epstein is basically a Jewish operative. But then you have this other story where people are saying that no, Epstein was not grooming 14 to 17 year olds, underage girls, so that he could solicit blackmail material. Rather, he was actually a pedophile and he was into actual children, prepubescent children. And why was he into something so heinous? Because he is a truly wicked person, totally irredeemable, not accessible at all. This is just diabolical evil. And so is everybody he knew. And not only were they raping violently the youngest children, but they were doing it part of their satanic religion. And as a matter of fact, they weren't involved with Israel. They are involved in some kind of satanic cabal that runs the world and all this kind of stuff. Now, these are two different Epsteins, and these are two very different conspiracies, two different pictures of the world. One is a story about Jews in the world. This is a group of people. They're very tribal. They're human. They're human beings like you and I. And as a group, they have a certain consciousness. They're a minority. They have this chip on their shoulder. They've been threatened in the past by Hitler and by the Catholic monarchs and by other groups. And so they're very defensive. They have a siege mentality. They're also smart and crafty. They have a stick-to-itiveness, a stick-togetherness. And so when they get into a society, they tend to operate like an organism. They help each other. They work together. And they have this disdain for the native population and inward loyalty. They sort of help each other rise up the ladder and then exert all this influence. That's how the world works. This is about human beings. Human beings and temptation and power and loyalty and tribalism. The other story is a story about magic and, you know, about unseen things. And it's a story about things that are not really provable and these sort of fantastical ideas. True demons walking among us, people that we could never understand because they're so heinous for the sake of being heinous and the rest of it. Well, I want to point to some pieces of evidence for the latter that people found in the Epstein files that were totally debunked. I saw this on Twitter. So here's one piece of evidence to support the latter theory. People are going through the 3 million files, and somebody found what appeared to be a document that said that Epstein made a bank transfer to an entity named Baal, B-A-A-L. And there's a document in the Epstein files that says that Epstein gave $11,000 to Baal, which happens to be the name of a demon, a Middle Eastern deity named in the Old Testament, and which was worshipped by Middle Eastern pagans and these ancient religions. They said that Epstein gave money to Baal. He named an entity after Baal. Why? Because he's a devil worshiper. Why would he be transferring money to this entity? Well, he made it. He named it after a demon because he's a demon worshiper. And everything he did was in the name of the devil, in the name of Baal. Just one problem with this. Totally fake. There is a document in the files that says Baal. But that is only because it was scanned by a scanning machine. The original file, the actual physical file, said bank name. But because the ink on the original file was smudged when it was scanned and then transcribed, it perceived the N and the K as an A and an L. Now, if you actually read the entire document, it was very clear from context clues that it said bank name. It was very obvious because it said bank name colon Wolovia Bank. But people didn't care. They didn't look at the context. They didn't look at the actual document. They just said Baal. And even though that didn't even really make sense in context, they found what they were looking for, took that, read into it that it was demon worship. Then they pushed that as an established fact and extrapolated out that he must be a devil worshiper. I will show it to you on the screen right now. This is from Yahoo News. We have this advertisement here we can't get rid of. I'm going to pull it up for you. Fact check. No, Baal bank account and Epstein bank transfer document to JP Morgan is a scanning error. Does a document in the Epstein files show he had a bank account named Baal, a demonic figure? No, that's not true. So this, I'll zoom in. This is the document that people posted on Twitter. Memorandum. From Jeffrey Epstein to William Doherty, please wire $11,438 from the above account to Baal period name Wachovia Bank. Routing number, account name. Well, it looks like we lost frames there for a second. I think we're good now, though, so just refresh. Now, in context, if you're reading this document, what does this obviously mean? If you read Baal name, colon, Wachovia Bank, what do you think this means? And then if you see below, it says routing, colon, account number, colon, account name, colon. What do you think this says? Do you think this means Baal name, or do you think it makes more sense that it says bank name? If you have ever done a wire transfer, you have the name of the bank, the routing number, the name of the account. And here's all that information. Colon, Wachovia Bank. Which bank is it? Wachovia Bank. So what do you think this really says? Do you think it says Baal, or do you think it says bank name and there's some mistake? Now, if I saw that document and I said this to you on the show, you would say I took the paycheck, right? If you were posting this document and you said, look, Epstein has a bank account named Baal, the name of a demon. See? He's a devil worshiper. It's all. If you said that and I retorted and said, you know, it probably says bank name, you would say I sold out. You would say that I took the $7,000. You would say I'm defending Epstein. Okay, just one problem. We have the original document. This is the original document that was scanned. Or I should say, this is another similar document from the same tranche. It's the same thing. It says bank name, colon, SEB Vilnius Banks, SWIFT code, bank code, account name. So again, here you have one of the documents that was scanned. It looks like a photocopy. Bank name, colon. Do you see how that would say an AL period by mistake? Bank name, Baal name, bank name. Clearly you had a document that was scanned or mistyped, some sort of error. No, the entity was not called Baal name. That wouldn't even make any sense. It says bank name. But that didn't stop people from taking that. I think there were tweets that had 100,000 likes that said, he had an entity named Baal. And again, you have this familiar pattern, which is people did a keyword search out of 3 million documents. They found what they were looking for. Ah, there it is. They found the document. Did they do their due diligence? Did they read the document? Did they think in terms of what is most likely the explanation or the context? No. They said, found what I'm looking for. It says, Baal, here it is. Took something that is ambiguous, passed it off as an established fact. See, he had an entity named Baal, and then extrapolated out, oh, if he named an entity Baal, well, he's a Satanist. Therefore, this is all a satanic blah, blah. It's all for the demons. So where's the accountability then? How many people posted this? And it wasn't true. Fake news. Now people would say, you're running cover for Epstein. You're defending him. Why are you defending him? I'm not. But we have to be guided by the truth. If you posted this, you were wrong. This is not evidence. We cannot draw conclusions based on faulty premises, based on faulty evidence, based on things that are provably not real. Here's another one. This is Ryan Dawson. So Ryan Dawson posts a picture of me wearing the Epstein quarter zip, Epstein wearing the quarter zip. And then he posts these photos, forgive me, they're graphic, of this little girl with Epstein and the same little girl tied up. And you might look at that and say, wow, that is really fucked up. 1.2 million views. 36,000 likes. Okay, just one problem. This image is fake. Did you know that? This image on the bottom right is an AI edited image. That's a fake photo. How do we know that? Because that is an image. I'll show you this one. This is the original image on the left. And again, I apologize. It's graphic. I don't want to be showing you this. This is a boy named Johnny Ghosh. He was kidnapped in the 90s. And there's a documentary about it on Netflix. It's called Finding Johnny or Where's Johnny, something like that. And it's a long story, but this little boy was kidnapped in the 80s. They were looking for him for 10 years. Somebody sent this photo to the victim's mother. Nobody knows to this day if that's the missing child or if it's somebody else. This is a 30-year-old photo. This is a different photo. This photo has existed on the internet for 10 years. It's the same photo. It's in a Netflix documentary. It's on Facebook. It's on YouTube. It's on blogs going back 10 years. The original goes back 25 years. It's an old photo. This is fake. So he saw this. Oh, here he is with her. Now there's this picture, and it even looks fake. The hair doesn't look real. None of it looks real. That's because this is the original, and you could see wooden slats here. I mean, it's identical. The way the arm is shaped, this is the original, this is edited. And this photo's been passed around for 20 years. Totally fake. But no one's going to know. 1.2 million views, 36,000 likes. It's not cool or funny. Look at this. That's another one. How about this? Your third example. Another one. This one has 1 million views, 1.2 million views, 32,000 likes. Just in, Epstein tied young girls aged 11 to 13 spread out on the floor, burned them with a magnifying glass. That sounds weird. Tied 11 to 13-year-olds to the grass and then used a magnifying glass to amplify the sun to burn them. This is one of the complaints. And I'll read it to you if you can't read it yourself. This is a tip to the FBI. It says, residential number called the FBI National Threat Operation to report a viral video of what appears to be Jeffrey Epstein torturing a young woman with a magnifying glass. Martin provided the following information. Martin sent a piece of a video of what appeared to be a young white female aged 11 to 13 with dark colored hair tied down and naked. The victim is tied to the ground and spread eagle with a man who appears to be Jeff Epstein holding a magnifying glass and burning the victim. Martin described the video as being blurry. However, the male subject appeared to be a very large man with gray hair wearing jeans, a short sleeve black shirt, and white tennis shoes. Martin stated Facebook would not take the video down. In the frame of the video, it says Epstein. However, the video is blurry. Here's another one, an open source query of Epstein and magnifying glass video. Resolved to a tweet from December 9, 2019 of a picture of what appears to be an adult woman naked, tied down and gagged, lying on the grass. The woman has multiple magnifying glasses on her body. The male subject in the video is wearing jeans, t-shirt, tennis shoes. You get the idea. Well, here's a proposed community note. I'll read this one to you. It says, the depicted scene is from a BDSM pornography video titled Drea Morgan Stakeout Under Glass, featuring adult performer Drea Morgan, not from Jeff Epstein's files or involving minors. Now, I'm not going to show you a pornography video tonight, but if you Google Drea Morgan Stakeout Under Glass, you will see a porn video. I searched it myself. You will see a porn video of a porn star. It's like a BDSM video of a girl naked in the grass, tied up, and a man is like burning her with a magnifying glass. It's just porn. It's just a regular porn. And I'm not saying like that's great or something, but it's just a porn video. But this is in the Epstein file. And a million people plus, because there's other tweets, a million plus people are seeing this. Epstein just tying girls to the grass. They're 11 years old. He's using a magnifying glass to torture them. It's a porn video. It's not Epstein. It's not a kid. It's just a porn video that some idiot saw on Facebook and sent to the FBI and said, I think I found an Epstein file. Fake. Totally fake. Here's another one. This is one you've seen floating around. This is Ryan Dawson. He says, she's 18, quote, Nick Fuentes, and then he shows this picture. Now, this is just a picture of Jeff Epstein with a little girl in his lap and a guy. Well, what's the implication to the 2.3 million people that saw it, 53,000 likes? Well, the implication is that this is a little child who is a rape victim. You know, my claim is that the victims are age 14 to 17. That is what Epstein was into. That's not technically pedophilia. It is, strictly speaking, a different category. He goes, oh, well, Nick says she's legal. Here's a picture of Epstein with clearly a prepubescent girl. Well, it would help to know who this guy is. Do you know who this person is? You might say, oh, he's one of Epstein's clients who's a... This man's name is Glenn Dubin. Okay, same guy. See this guy in the background? Same guy. That is his daughter. That is Jeffrey Epstein's goddaughter. Jeffrey Epstein used to date this guy's wife. They're close friends. They do business together. This girl is this guy's daughter. She is Epstein's goddaughter. And here it is on Wikipedia. Okay? He was friends with Epstein. That was his goddaughter. So what do you think is happening here? Epstein certainly is a sex criminal, belongs in jail, belongs in hell. But is every photo of him with a girl necessarily mean he's involved in sex in that photo? No, I don't think so. He's still a person with friends that have families. This is not evidence of anything. This is the only thing this is evidence of is that he spent an afternoon with his friend and his goddaughter. Okay? That's what is happening in this photo. But of course, the insinuation, oh, well, she's a rape victim. She's clearly not 18. You're making fake. And you've seen this everywhere. You've seen all of this stuff everywhere. This is all fake. The ball thing, fake. That picture of the tied up girl, demonstrably fake. It's AI edited. The magnifying glass hoax. It's a porn video. This is his goddaughter. He's with family. He's with a friend and a family friend. Now, here's another document. This I found interesting. You don't see any of the Epstein haters. Let's call them Epstein maximalists. You don't see any of the Epstein maximalists posting this one. This is from Antunes. He says, a girl presents a different narrative describing Jeffrey Epstein as an awesome man. She says she faked her ID to appear 18, claims every girl was comfortable and loved him. This is a report from one of the victims. I'll read it to you because, again, you can't really read it and it's hard to zoom in here. I'll see if I could zoom in, actually. It says, a friend of one of her friends couldn't tell you who this friend was. She said, would you like to make a couple dollars? Let's call her Jane Doe. Jane said, sure. She said, I know this Jeffrey and I bring girls there and he likes massages. She inquired about her age and she said, make sure you tell him you're 18. Also stated she had a fake ID. She said, sometimes he likes topless massages, but you don't have to do anything you don't want to do. You will make $200 in 30 minutes. Why were you worried about your age? She said, because I was underage and I was young and I was pretty stupid and I didn't want to get in trouble. She said she had a fake ID saying she was 18. Make sure you're 18. Jeffrey doesn't want underage girls. She gave Jeffrey Epstein her number and after the first time, Jane communicated directly with Epstein. She said it was up there and then something, something and went upstairs. She left after 5 minutes. The first time Jane gave him a massage, so-and-so had said he liked topless massage. I heard he liked topless massages, and he said, yeah, but you don't have to do anything you're not comfortable with. But I said, okay, and I willingly took it off. Shoulder, back, and neck massage she provided to Epstein. They talked about her lifestyle and what Jeffrey Epstein did for a living. Epstein was fully clothed. He said to wait a second that he was going to get on the massage table. He got undressed and put a towel around him. She didn't see anything. They always gave her the money. She paid so-and-so and so-and-so when they first walked in the door. Everybody always got paid $200. Epstein said he would like to see her again, and from what she remembers, Epstein asked her for my number, and she gave him her number. She was wearing a shirt and jeans. She started to do the massage. She said to Epstein she had heard he liked topless massages, and of course he thought she was 18. Epstein said, yeah, that he did prefer that. She said, okay, who wouldn't? She gave Epstein a topless massage. He never turned over during the first massage. She was called the next day, took a taxi to the residence. Epstein did not call her. Something would normally take a taxi if she did have her friends take her. Something. Once she had met Epstein, he was a very awesome guy, and she ended up giving him her number. She'd rather go to him on her own. Taxis paid for out of money that she made performing the massages. She used a bunch of different taxi companies. She was living somewhere. Second massage, she went there by herself. Epstein on his stomach, towel over him. She had her top off. He asked me the whole time, are you comfortable with me doing this? And she said, yes. He turned around. This was at the end of the massage. She said that their 30-minute massage, usually even shorter than that Epstein masturbated at the end of the massage. It was like 2 seconds. He didn't touch her and she didn't touch him. He didn't want her to touch him. Actually, later on, she asked him. She would rub his chest and she would massage him while he continued to masturbate. He paid $200. Sometimes Epstein would and sometimes she would pay. The massage ended after he ejaculated, but he did not release every time. Sometimes he just wanted his feet massage or back massage. This is the second part. I don't know if I'll read the entire thing. It's kind of long. She never used a back massager. Yeah, I had a boyfriend. He was a jealous boy. He didn't care. Bring home the bacon. I would bring girls there when she was pregnant. Through a baby shower, he got me furniture and a rattle for my son. He sent her to bring me gifts for the baby. He asked if she had a boyfriend. We talked like friends in our life stories. He probably knew my whole story. She told Epstein she wanted to be a model, and Epstein said he would help her, 16 at the time. Epstein said, I will definitely take you and bring you up to New York because he had models there. She would always turn him down because I was 16. He asked a couple times. He said, I will bring you to New York or Brazil. We could try to fulfill your dreams. And she would always say no because I was young and I didn't want to screw up the 18 thing. After I had the baby, something changed. I was a bad girl. She totally changed. Brought girls two times after she had the baby. Epstein and her stopped talking. They each had their own lives. Yes, I was late on my rent. I asked him for like $300. He gave her $500. She can't remember if Epstein was in town or not, but he was not there. He went to Brazil. He had to come back with a whole bunch of bikinis. He gave her a bikini. He told her to choose one. The girl who died recommended a bikini from Epstein. She identified a telephone number. She went over there more than a couple times. She met her through one of some so-and-so's friends. Everybody loved Epstein. Every girl that I bought was fine with it. As far as I know, we all had fun there. We ate the food he gave, free bikinis, nothing about any cops. Hopefully Epstein doesn't find out our age. He always told them, and I told them, you don't have to do anything, you're not comfortable. Oh my gosh, I wasn't expecting that. That was kind of weird. We were so young, and Epstein didn't know that the whole thing was shaken up. When I brought them there, I thought they were 18, 19, 20. A couple times I brought 16-year-olds. And they were scared to say they were 18. What if he finds out afterward? If he climaxed, they were shaken up. I would say it was okay. And they would say they weren't expecting that. He told Epstein they were comfortable with it. She was thinking, if anything, they were scared. Maybe they felt obligated. Usually the girls I brought one time wouldn't see them again. Approximately 30 girls taken. Never any alcohol or drugs. When she was 16, she smoked pot. Jeffrey always made me feel so comfortable. I thought I was a big girl. I was 18. Everything changed in my life. I got a job. I just stopped. I didn't feel like it was right. She was a stay-at-home mom. She had a beautiful baby boy, worked at LA Fitness, Romeo's Pizza. She told me she wanted to stay home with my baby. She and her were friends, blah, blah, blah. I hope nothing happens to Jeffrey. He is an awesome man, and it is a shame that he has to go through this. I love him as a friend. He has done so much for me. Okay. Now, look, here's the point. What is the point of reading through all this? Let me be very specific. Let me be very clear. Why am I doing this, people say? Why am I reading through this? What is the point of all this? Let me be very clear. I am not trying to defend Jeffrey Epstein at all. I'm not trying to justify what he did. I'm not trying to minimize it. I'm not trying to exonerate him. My view on Jeffrey Epstein is that he is a hedonist and an evil man. And what he did was evil. But let's talk about what he did. He groomed teenage girls into erotic massages and in some cases sex. The ages were 14 to 17. Out of hundreds of interviews, thousands of potential victims, this is the age bracket that we get. This is what is proven. This is what is corroborated. This is still heinous. This is still an evil and a heinous crime. Why? Well, if it isn't obvious, because 14 to 17-year-old girls are vulnerable, especially if they come from a broken home, which almost all of them did. All had money problems, family problems. These are vulnerable young women from a poor socioeconomic background or a dysfunctional family. It's also their age. So women who are immature, psychologically vulnerable, already in a vulnerable position, are being manipulated. That's what that is. It's called grooming. And grooming is wrong for a reason. It's wrong because women have a hard time saying no. Because women are naturally afraid because they're weak. Women are weaker and And there's all sorts of biological and social reasons. Women don't like to say no. And women are very emotional and grow attached, especially young women. And so a young woman who gets turned on to this kind of life is manipulatable. Is she freely choosing? Not completely, because there is an asymmetry. An older person, a person of means, has an advantage over an immature younger person, a teenager, and a poor person. So Epstein is taking advantage, and that is abuse. These girls are losing their innocence. They're effectively becoming prostitutes for a pimp. And you could call this the lover boy method. Epstein, of course, is being very kind and generous and giving them money, but he is taking from them, taking their innocence. It is exploitative. He is exploiting them for their bodies, for their sex. And this is quite literally the selling your soul. It's the deal with the devil. They're giving up their innocence, giving up their purity, their chastity, in exchange for money. And they think that Epstein's their friend. He's not their friend. He's not a good guy. That's not a good person. That's a predator. That is somebody that is preying on vulnerable young women that don't know any better. And he knows what he's doing, cynically and hedonistically manipulating them so that he could use them for himself, for his friends. And that is heinous. That is a crime. And I believe that he should be, if he were alive, should be brought to justice. And he was. He got this plea deal. That's really a political question, but they should have brought the whole weight of the law against him for victimizing hundreds and thousands of girls, effectively turning them out into prostitutes. No doubt about it. This is wrong. So I want to be very clear. My purpose here is not in any way, shape, or form to excuse it, moralize it, minimize it, justify it, rationalize it. It's not the purpose here. The purpose is to define it, to categorize it. It is to report to you the facts of what exactly this was, what was actually happening. I'm trying to paint a picture for you of what this really is, because first of all, it's the truth, and we need to know the truth of the matter if we want to gain understanding. And the facts of how this actually happens points towards the why. This is not a human interest story. At the end of the day, Epstein is not a subject of interest because he's a sex criminal. Unfortunately, in the world, there are a lot of sex criminals. Unfortunately, this happens all the time. OnlyFans is really in the same business as Jeffrey Epstein. All this stuff is in the pornography, you name it, casual hookups in a way, so much of it. Hollywood, they're in the same business as Jeffrey Epstein at the end of the day. Why are we interested in the story? It's not because a sex crime was committed. It's because a sex crime was committed by somebody who was probably an intelligence operative. Now, understanding his mode, his method, the how, this is key to understanding the why. This is key to understanding what he was really doing. And so the reason that I bring all this information out, it is not to say Epstein didn't transfer money to Baal and, you know, he didn't tie up this little girl and he didn't have sex with this little girl, therefore he's a good guy, therefore leave. That's not what I'm saying. I'm saying we have to be very precise and rigorous and truthful in how we evaluate this information. We have to be investigators. We have to use a forensic method. And so, no, I'm sorry, AI edited images and misleading information and transcription errors, that cannot be permitted into the wealth of evidence. That can't be admitted into the evidence locker. We have to look at what's actually there. And what we find when we look at the evidence is what is going on here is that Epstein was grooming teenagers. By all accounts, it was not violent. It was not physically coercive. That was not happening. In 2006, they interviewed hundreds of witnesses, thousands of potential victims. They had people on the island, or rather in Florida, in southern Florida, at his compound. There is no record of physical coercion. In other words, women weren't being beat up. They weren't being killed. They weren't. And again, I'm not saying like, hey, it's not that bad. I'm saying that was not happening. The method that Epstein chose is that through Ghislaine Maxwell and through other women, and the reason why you work through women is because women are less threatening than men. If an older woman, even if she's 18, or if she's Ghislaine Maxwell's age, she's a little older down the line, if a woman approaches a younger girl and solicits her for a massage, it's easier for that woman to gain a young girl's trust. That's why Ghislaine Maxwell was an accomplice. That's what she was doing. And as Ghislaine Maxwell recruited girls, the girls were recruiting girls. Why? Because that was the method. They were going to these down on their luck, vulnerable young women and telling them, hey, listen, we're going to go to this island. He's going to pay you $200. It's nothing weird. He's totally normal. And that's grooming. That's how that starts. So they get him in. Epstein doesn't do anything weird. He's polite. He doesn't flash the girl, doesn't show the penis. He doesn't jack off at the end. First massage, normal. Here's your $200. We'll pay for your cab. See you later. And the girl says, wow, this guy's connected to Victoria's Secret. He gave me an expensive bikini and underwear. He paid for my food and my taxi. He gave me, in the 90s, that's a lot of money, $200 for a young girl. She goes, wow, he's somebody. This is maybe the most important person I know in my life. I can go places. So she comes back again. This time he shows his penis, you know. Asks her to take her top off. She goes, oh, okay, I'm here. She feels indebted. Pressured. You know, this is the method. And then you have these girls that are hanging in and around the complex and they go on the private jet. How's about we go on the island and come to New York and come to the Florida, whatever. And they're Epstein's girlfriends are part of the harem. And then they're being shared. They're being trafficked, prostituted out for the other men. This seems to be the means. This is the method. Now, is he dismembering them and gutting them and eating the fecal matter out of their intestines for the devil? I don't think so. No. By all accounts, I don't think that's what's happening. Because that is the other story. The other story from some of these other allegations is that Epstein and George W. Bush gutted a young girl and ate her intestines and specifically the fecal matter in her intestines. And they did that in a satanic ritual. Is that what's going on here? I don't see any evidence for that. Because of this faulty bank statement, because of these fake pictures, because of the FBI reports, FBI tips. Well, we've seen the tips. The tips are like, I saw a porn thumbnail. I think it's Epstein. It's a porn video. The evidence that he was a devil worshiper. It says bald name. It says bank name. It's a wire transfer. It says bank name, colon, the name of the bank. So what's really going on here? Are people being dismembered and decapitated and, you know, tortured to death in front of people and adrenochrome? Or does Epstein like younger girls? Age gap. It's distasteful. It's unethical. It's heinous. You know, the means by which he's doing this is obviously wrong. But clearly that's his thing, and he wants young girls there, and he wants young girls there because then that's what makes, don't shoot the messenger here, but that's what makes a party. You know, when you go to a club, you get in for free if you have some hot young girls there. Obviously, you know, that's on the younger side. That's on the very younger side. It gets creepy at that point. But Epstein wants the mansion, wants the island to be filled with young girls because he's throwing these parties. And so when you see the emails that he's sending to these people, it's, hey, we have girls. Nobody over the age of 25, he says in one of the emails. We got girls. They're young. None of them over the age of 25. Now, is that an invitation to the fecal matter eating ritual? Or is that saying, hey, we got a cool party? We got hoes. We got bitches. That's the email. Hey, Howard Lutnick. Hey, Elon. Hey, so-and-so. Hey, come to the party. We got girls. Nobody over the age of 25. You can get laid here. We're on a tropical island. You can come and get laid. That's clearly the message. Now, if we understand what Epstein is, then we understand why he was doing this. Why was he trafficking the young girls? Because that is his in to these powerful networks. That's his in. If it was just a matter of taste, if this was just a personal predilection that he was ashamed of or that he was hiding because it was illicit, maybe he would have kept it to himself. But clearly there was a purpose behind this. Why did Les Wexner set him up with Victoria's Secret? Because that is how Epstein accessed these models. And these things always go hand in hand. Who controls prostitution? Organized crime. Organized crime controls prostitution. And if you control prostitution, you control the brothel. And that means you control the girls. And that means if a politician, if a banker is at your brothel, he's fucking one of your girls. And you have control over that girl. You have control over that girl that is this politician's girlfriend. That's the point. And that is really what Epstein is. That is our understanding of Epstein, is that the island, these various compounds that he had, these are effectively mob-run brothels. These are intelligence-run brothels. Victoria's Secret, that's your carrot. We want to get these young girls. How do we get them to do the massages? How do we get them? Well, we offer them this glamorous life. I can introduce you. I can make you a model. You're a beautiful girl who's broke. I can make you a model. I can. And then you understand this is really just like Harvey Weinstein. And don't get me wrong, it's not to victim blame, but the girls, on some level, even though, again, they're being taken advantage of, they are making a choice. They are going to this place, taking the money, doing something they know is wrong. It is all very glamorous in the moment. And, you know, that was Harvey Weinstein too. I'll make you a movie star. You have to sleep with me. This is Epstein. I'll make you a model. You have to massage me. You have to massage this guy. You have to massage that guy. And the girls, again, they're being preyed upon. I do believe they are victims. But there's also an element of choice in there too. They're coming back. Let me take the money. Oh, this is a powerful guy. I do want to be a model. I'm chasing the dream. I'm just doing what it takes. Let's not be naive. This is human affairs. This is what happens in the course of society. Now, this is a reasonable picture of what Epstein is. That is what Epstein is. Let's also talk about what is in the emails aside from this information. What is not in the files? You don't see a smoking gun. What is not in the files? The ball thing, some of these edited photographs, misleading stuff. You know what is in the files? Repeatedly and overtly and constantly? Epstein is always talking about Jews and Goyim. It comes up over and over again. Goyim are ridiculous. Is it going to be all Jews at the party? No, Goyim in abundance, but it's okay. It's smart Goyim. Jews are smart. They move money. Goyim toil with their hands. Goyim are made to serve. This is what is in the files. You know what is not in the files? There's not a lot of talk of the occult. There's not a lot of rituals, not even really strictly speaking pedophilia. That's not really in the files. You know, all this, a lot of the stuff that is being pushed around is fake. I mean, it's literally just fabricated and it's being exaggerated and embellished. You know what is in the files? That Epstein was a Jew and he self-identified as a Jew and he wasn't religious. He didn't keep kosher. He was a complete degenerate hedonist. We don't even know that he was super pro-Israel. At least he didn't talk about it a ton. What we do know about the files is that he was extremely powerful, extremely connected. He knew business leaders. He knew government officials in Israel, in the UK, in the United States. He knew people at JP Morgan. He knew people at Yale. He knew people in the cybersecurity industry. He knew people everywhere. He knew Reid Hoffman, Peter Thiel, Mark Andreessen. He knew all these guys. And he was a powerful Jew. He was a Jewish patriot. He had these attitudes about being Jewish. The Jews are better. The Jews work smarter. The Jews are smarter. The Jews get together and they want to be in the club. And that Goyim are stupid and Goyim are taken advantage of. And we don't really like the Goyim. And the Goyim are different than us. And Goyim are subhuman. Now, again, this paints a very, what do we have? Let's work with what we have. This paints a picture. Epstein, knowing what we know about him, well, let's just tell the story from the beginning. Epstein is somebody who was given $500 million by the Jewish financiers Leon Black at Apollo and Les Wexner at Victoria's Secret. These are both Jewish patriots for Israel. Leon Black and Les Wexner, they were responsible for most of Epstein's fortune. Those two alone accounted for more than half of $1 billion of his net worth. They just gave him that money. They gave him a house. They gave him a jet. They gave him the island. They gave him his fortune. They say that Epstein was just a tax genius. They just say that they liked his personality. That's obviously a cover story. There's a lot of people that are good at taxes. They're not worth $1 billion. You don't give them a house and a plane and an island. And there's a lot of people that are nice guys, funny guys. You don't give them $1 billion. So what is going on there? Well, it's quite obvious. Les Wexner and Leon Black have an inroad with Israel. They are probably Sionim. They are Jewish covert spies working under the IDF. Now, they may not be IDF agents, or rather Mossad agents or Shin Bet agents, but they are accomplices to Israeli intelligence. Israeli intelligence has their number and can call upon them to do things. They're working hand in glove with the Israeli state. They have a relationship with the Israeli state. And so occasionally the Israeli intelligence service needs to promote somebody inside the United States, needs to get somebody in a particular room, in between, in the middle. How do they do that? Well, that guy needs to be Bruce Wayne. He needs to be a billionaire playboy philanthropist. So how do they do that? Well, they call up Les Wexner and Leon Black, the two pro-Israel Jews from the mega group. And they say, hey, give this guy $500 million. The money's all fungible. It's your stuff, but he's going to hold on to it. That's clearly what's going on. So Les Wexner owns Victoria's Secret. And this is where beautiful girls are looking for a career. If you're a drop-dead gorgeous girl, you want to be a model. Okay, what is the preeminent modeling career? Victoria's Secret is a great place to start. So this is where they start getting the girl. Again, it's all part of this machine. Epstein grooms the young girls, promising them this life of fame and fortune. They willingly go along. Now, they're being groomed and they're being manipulated, but they're going along with it. They're not being murdered and beaten up and so on. They're being bribed. And 14 to 17-year-old girls who want to make a career, want to make a name, are going in. Epstein's indulging himself, and he's sharing in the harem with the powerful people. And this is how he either endears himself to powerful people, come to my island, we're having a crazy party with girls, or potentially how he blackmails them. Hey, Bill Gates, it'd be a shame if people found out you cheated on your wife. This is how they operate. Now, as we've said, Epstein is, I don't believe it's convincing that he's some occultist, devil worshiper who's gutting people and just is like a real sicko for the sake of being evil. He seems like somebody who is a Jewish patriot. And what does it tell us about our society? That somebody like this is able to rise through the ranks. This is how they talk when they get together. When J.P. Morgan and Andreessen Horowitz and the Israeli government and Goldman Sachs, when all these different groups get together and they talk over email, they joke and they kid and they are vulgar like the rest of us. But this is how they talk, like they're all in a big club. Are there going to be any stupid goyim at the party? Oh, yeah, goyim in abundance, but it's okay. They're not dumb ones. I hope it's all Jews at the party. Ah, Jews are smarter than everybody. Jews are the... That's what this is, and that's what it tells us about our society. This tells us something about the structure of our society, that these are the types of people that are actually the power brokers. They broker influence. They broker large decisions, and they do it by getting into the social circle of this upper stratum. They infiltrate the social circle of that highest percentile, and they go to the parties. And for example, Nelson Rockefeller helps Epstein get into the Trilateral Commission and Bilderberg and all these different supranational groups. And this is where he goes and hobnobs, rubs shoulders, gets numbers, shake hands. Hey, I'm Epstein. I'm a tax genius. Come to my island. Hey, I'm Epstein. I'm a Swiss bank account, offshore bank account expert. Come to my complex. And he's put in these rooms by his fellow Jews. He's not a tax genius. He's not actually a genius at anything. In his interview with Steve Bannon, he said Aristotle never wrote any books. He doesn't even know what he's talking about. People say the reason Jews are successful is because of their IQ. This guy was a fraud. So how did he make $500 million if he's a fraud? Because he was given a boost by his fellow Jew. They probably got a lift from their fellow Jews. And they all got that sponsorship once upon a time from Israel, from European Jewry, from the Rothschilds, from the Jewish elite in America. This is the game that is being played. And so Nelson Rockefeller and the Rothschild, I guess Rockefeller's not a Jew, but Rockefeller's involved with Jews. The Rothschilds, Les Wexner, Leon Black, Ehud Barak, all these people give him his fortune, his crib, his models, bring him to the rooms, bring him to the parties, and they are creating the security vulnerability. It's sort of like a back end. They opened up a back end into America's elite so that Israel could get in. And his name is Jeffrey Epstein. And that's what this is. That's what's going on here. And I believe that every effort to embellish this story, and people are focusing on, there's emails about time travel. They're calling him a lizard. There's a story about him eating feces out of a girl's intestines. The more that people fixate on that, the more they get away from the real story. And the real story is about how all of this works. This is how our society works. And that's when you realize you cannot have Jewish people at the highest level. Because if you do, they will get Epstein's in the club. A Larry Ellison, a Les Wexner, a Miriam Adelson, a Sheldon Adelson, a Larry Fink. These people will get the Epstein in the club. They will get their guy in the club. They are a fifth column. They will do it for Israel. They will do it for their fellow Jew. And that's really what is happening in the elites, is the elites are very disorganized. You've got some left-wing white people. You've got some oil people, tech people, Wall Street people. You have all different kinds of people from all different regions and different ethnicities and from different factions and mobs. And then you have the Jews working as one. No loyalty other than to each other. Putting their tentacles everywhere. That's really what Epstein represents. And I don't know, is that not exciting enough? Is that not sexy enough? We need to get into... He was into cloning and time travel. He was into some science experiments. That's true. Some really raunchy stuff. But the essence of the, I think that betrays just a curiosity and amusement of certain types of elites. The real essence of political control is how he was elevated and then how he was used horizontally. That's the story. And so for the sake of that, I am going to do a super show about this on Friday. Friday, we are going to map out all of it. We are going to talk about Leon Black. We're going to talk about Les Wexner. We're going to talk about Leon Black's son. We're going to talk about Peter Thiel. We are going to talk about all the, we are going to break it down, the entire structure of the Epstein network, the mega group, his accomplices, his allies in the Trump administration, his allies in Israel. On Friday, Friday's show is going to be a special. We are going to lift the veil on everything that is going on with that. The only way that we can counter all the nonsense about Epstein is to strip it all away and show you what is really going on with Epstein. So Friday, we're going to get into it. Like I said, we're going to break it down, map out all those connections.